Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, August 28th, 2015. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the minimum wage. Recent calls for a significant increase in the minimum wage, $10 an hour. President Obama recommends, some say $15 an hour in fast food restaurants and so forth. Would that be a good thing or a bad thing? We hear a lot of talk about raise the minimum wage. It comes at a time when fewer people are reporting to work each day than at any time since 1978, according to the most recent report. From the New York Federal Reserve Bank, manufacturing activity has dropped in America to the lowest level since 2009. American companies are struggling with a slowing global economy, U.S. exports falling down 4.16% this year alone. The number of Americans unemployed for 27 weeks or more is 3.37 million, four-fifths of the long-term unemployed, though, have given up and stopped looking for jobs, so they're not even counted in those numbers. Logic, then, tells us that we might want to make employment cheaper, not more expensive. Since when the price goes down for something, more of that something is demanded. Perhaps then, with a lower minimum wage or no minimum wage at all, and a reduction in the number of employment regulations, the cost of hiring would come down, and more people could be hired. Lower labor costs allow employers to invest in equipment and make capital improvements to their equipment, which result in more productivity and more jobs. So, could this be the worst time to be raising the cost of workers? Technological advances are enabling firms to replace more and more people with computers and robots. Millions of workers at checkout stations, fast food restaurants, and in warehouses are vulnerable to replacement. Higher wages encourage investment in the technology to replace workers. The real debate, then, is does a government-mandated minimum wage reduce employment opportunities, or does it not? Common sense, logic, and the law of supply and demand would argue that it does. Raising the price of something while holding all other variables constant reduces consumption of that something. Employers use fewer workers when their wages are increased by law. If we don't think unemployment will be a problem and loss of productivity a problem, why only $10 or $15? Why not $20, $30, or $100? Because we know that that increase will have a pro rata effect on employment and on productivity, especially among the young and unskilled, low-skilled jobs, which are mostly held by less educated, less skilled young and minority workers are lost by government wage fixing. If you want those people unemployed and on welfare, just destroy their jobs. The morality of why the government would seek to eliminate the first steps up the economic ladder for so many people is questionable at best. I don't have any employees in my law firm who make minimum wage or even twice minimum wage, but if the government told me I had to double one or more of my employees' pay, my decision would be obvious. I would have to get along with one or two fewer people and require the rest to take up the slack, which would hurt productivity and possibly influence employees to resign, except that other employees would have to do the same thing. So that's a few reasons why we should not raise the minimum wage, but it's true that wages are stagnant right now and have been for some time. According to Federal Reserve Bank figures since 1980, medical expenses have gone up 575%, new homes 47%, the consumer price index 250%, while median household income has only increased 9%. This forces people to borrow to make purchases that wages used to cover. The question is why and what can be done about it? The answer, obviously, is that many things have caused it, but the result is that it is difficult, if not impossible, for many people to raise children, even one child, and still provide the necessities of life. The fact that a growing percentage of the population cannot provide for themselves without ever increasing debt makes the insolvency of many an inevitable thing. It is impossible for the average debt load of Americans to be paid while still maintaining the cost of basic necessities of life. This is evident from the government's own figures that over 100 million Americans, or roughly one-third of the population, receive some type of food assistance. Certainly, one of the causes of all this has been the deindustrialization of America. The offshoring of American jobs to cheap labor countries has destroyed the American job market. That trend continues to get worse. Numbers from the slowing world economy reveal this. Manufacturing, shipping, all slowing in America. So it appears that we are at least nearing a neo-feudal society with the majority of people in bondage as perpetual debt serfs. Thomas Jefferson understood these things might happen more clearly than most people today understand them. The aristocracy's ability to consolidate wealth and subvert government, he understood that. That led him to make his famous quote and to believe that every generation requires its own revolution. He warned us about consolidation of power until the overwhelming majority toils in servitude and perpetual debt, he said. Yes, that appears to be where we are today, at least where we are headed, transferring more and more power to the government in order to offset the growing power of the aristocracy won't work because they are one and the same political office today, rather than being an opportunity to represent and serve the people, is merely a stepping stone, kind of an initiation of acceptance into the aristocracy. That is why there is so much interest and so much attention in the nomination process instead of in the general election. Once the candidates are decided, it no longer matters. So again, I ask, what is the answer? I have to confess, I don't have all the answers. The answers of lower taxes, fewer regulations, less government all seem so long-term and so trite when such large numbers of people need immediate relief. Could the answer then be more government power, power to dictate wages, or would that just make a bad situation worse? I'm sure of one thing, and that is that, once again, the government makes the problems, and it always has the solution, which always seemed to make those problems worse. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.